Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host for the show and founder of Yes to Life, the UK charity advocating for integrative cancer care. A topic that's featured a few times recently on this show and that's definitely gaining more and more attention is that of the importance of our inbuilt body clocks, our circadian rhythms, to our overall well-being. Another field in which circadian rhythms are being studied is in relation to the delivery of treatment. Are there best times of day or night to have a particular treatment? Someone who has given this question a lot of attention is Professor Qingjun Meng at the University of Manchester. I'm joined today by Professor Meng as well as Amy Stavers, a breast cancer patient who has been supporting the work of the Breast Cancer Now charity that is funding Professor Meng's research. Good morning, Professor Qingjun and Amy. Lovely to have you on the show.
Hello.
Hello.
So today we're going to be speaking about the relationship between circadian rhythms, or the daily cycles of the body, and cancer treatment. In simple terms, you're researching whether or not it matters what time of day a procedure is performed. So I imagine that plenty of listeners might be wondering if this is even a question worth asking, as it could sound to them a bit like asking whether it matters what colour bottles are used for the chemotherapy. Where does the idea come from that this concept is worthy of serious investigation?
So we have known for some time that the internal body clocks, the circadian rhythms, they are very important in different cell types. And our previous work have shown that these inner body clocks also exist in key cell types in the breast that become cancerous in breast cancer. So what is very exciting in this project funded by Breast Cancer Now is that for the first time we started to look at circadian rhythms or internal body clocks in cancer tissues with the normal tissue as control. So the way we do it is we take breast tissues from surgery, then we also take the normal tissue next to it, then we can compare whether the rhythms change in the tumor to the normal tissue.
Interesting.
And the data so far has shown that, first of all, the rhythms do change, and secondly, these changes depend on the subtype of cancer. So breast cancer, there are different subtypes. In certain subtypes, the cancer is completely disrupted, while in other subtypes, they're still maintained. Back to your question, why this matter? Why should we take it seriously? So the clocks are important because they control cell division, and for tumor cells, they control when they divide as well. There was a Nature paper a few months ago about tumor cell shedding into the blood, which mainly happens at nighttime. It also controls when cells respond to treatments, and that is what this particular research project is about.
Mm, very interesting. Okay, well, I admit I was playing the devil's advocate a bit there, as other guests on the show have actually spoken about circadian rhythms and how recent science is revealing just how important they are to our overall well-being. So it's an unusual bit of research you're involved in. I'd like you to tell us a bit more about what you hope to find out here.
Yeah, so in this research, we use something called machine learning algorithms to predict body clock time, because you can imagine studying circadian rhythms in humans is quite difficult, especially in solid tumors, because we cannot take biopsies over time around the clock. Therefore, you can't easily measure circadian rhythms. However, we use machine learning approach combined with deep sequencing. So basically, we sequence every gene in the tumor tissue and the adjacent normal tissue. Then based on the patterns of gene expression for those rhythmic clock genes, we can predict the body clock time quite accurately.
Right. Okay. So you're actually noting the time that the sample was taken. Is that right? Does that play anything into it?
No, not really.
No.
So,
okay.
So we know when the sample was taken, because the surgeons would have told us. But what we don't know is in this particular sample, let's say a tumor sample, is the clock shifted from the normal walk of
Right.
time? Or is it completely gone and become arrhythmic? So the algorithm will tell me that in this particular cancer subtype, there's no circadian rhythm of whatsoever. While in another type, it's still rhythmic, but has it shifted from the normal tissue or not?
So, I just need to dig in a little bit there just to understand. So the samples that you're looking at, they're dead. So they don't have a rhythm, okay, at that point, correct?
No, not
Not
true.
true.
So
Okay.
these are live tissues.
Okay.
These are live tissues with live cells.
Good, right.
So we take them. So these are not archived tissues we got from something called a biobank, that has been there for months or years. So these tissues, we take them the same day when the tissue was removed. So it's always fresh.
Right, okay, that makes sense now. Good, thank you. All right, so I want to go on and hear much more detail about the trial and the potential of these strategies. I think I'm right in thinking they're called chronotherapeutic strategies. Is that the right term?
That's the right term, yeah,
Okay.
chronotherapy, yeah.
But before that, I wonder if you'd both tell us a bit about your backgrounds and how you arrived at this unusual piece of research.
So I've been working on circadian rhythms for nearly 20 years.
Wow.
But in the past, I worked on circadian rhythms in different body systems, for example, musculoskeletal system. And about 6, 7 years ago, I started collaborating with a breast cancer biologist, Charles Julie. So that's when this idea really came that we wanted to know whether breast cells also have their inner clocks. And most of those studies we did were in animal models or cell cultures in the laboratory. But only recently we started to move on to study human breast cancer. This is by additional collaborations with physicians, oncologists, and other breast cancer biologists.
Very interesting. So 20 years ago, you must have been really far out there in terms of researching this stuff because it certainly wasn't on the radar for most medics at all, was it?
That's absolutely true. Yeah, circadian rhythm research wasn't as well recognized back then,
No.
and certainly not very well known to clinicians and nurses, the importance of timing in treatments.
But there was a Nobel Prize involved, wasn't there, that actually put circadian rhythms on the map, I think.
Yes, so in 2017, Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine was awarded to three pioneers in our field. And since then, there have been a lot more interests, not
Yeah,
surprisingly.
right.
A lot more people start to work on circadian rhythm as well. So the recent conference I went to, which is called SRBR in the States, we used to have something like 600 people, but that time we had nearly 1,000 people
Right,
attending.
right. Change of gear. Exciting. Okay, Amy, would you tell us about your background?
Yes, I was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 25. I had my first lot of surgery May 2019 that took out the lump. That was just a lumpectomy on my left side. Took out the lump, they tested it, and they found it was hormone positive. So I had to have the left side mastectomy in June 2019. That was due to my age and the type of breast cancer I had, which was hormone positive, which can spread quite quickly. After the mastectomy, I went on to have chemotherapy. I had that from July 2019 till January 2020. I had five lots of FEC because I was allergic to the docetaxel. I had radiotherapy for five sessions. It was actually intense sessions. It's supposed to be in over a 3 week period, but they reduced it to five sessions of intense radiotherapy. And after that, I am on tamoxifen for 10 years.
So you're considered kind of stable at this point.
Yes, I have regular mammograms and MRIs every year, so I'm currently cancer free, but I'm actually off tamoxifen at the minute, but I've got an appointment next week to go back on. but I should be on tamoxifen for about 10 years.
Yeah. And just to be clear to anybody who doesn't know the shorthand, FEC is a type of chemotherapeutic regime, a combination of chemotherapies. So, great. So tell me about your relationship to this trial.
I got contacted off Breast Cancer Now and they told me a bit more about the trial. And obviously with us being on tamoxifen, I find it very, very interesting. Looking at the trial, it's about the effectiveness of taking them at a particular time of day, which I find very interesting. Because with me being on tamoxifen, I would like to be told, right, if you take it at this time of a morning or this time of an afternoon, and it's going to give you more effectiveness than if you took it at a different time of a day.
It's a very interesting concept, isn't it? And obviously, it hasn't been in anybody's mind until recently, particularly, except for a few people like the professor. But the rest of us are catching up to this idea now. And it's such a simple thing, really, just changing the time at which you have something. There's not a lot of investment in that. Obviously, it's one of those things where, unlike other interventions, it doesn't really require a huge amount of safety and efficacy trials. You could actually just get on and try it, really, because there's not a lot to lose. And you can afford to take your best guess at the best time and see what happens. But anyway, very interesting. But anyway, Professor Ching Jun is hoping to find out specifically what advice to give people, though, which, of course, is ideal. And the Breast Cancer Now charity is involved in this whole thing. And obviously, you've been in touch with them, Amy. Did the charity approach you, Professor, or did you approach the charity?
So I applied to the Breast Cancer Now for a research grant, because as you know, they provide research grant every year to support research. And I put in an application, and I was very lucky to be funded to conduct this research. It's a 3-year research, actually, which just started a few days ago.
Right, amazing. So I imagine there's hot competition for that money. Did they tell you why yours have been selected?
They did tell me, and it has always been very competitive, indeed. And they did tell me the reason they liked it was because, as you said, the idea is, it's non-invasive, it's relatively simple, but it could make a huge difference to people's patients' response, not only to make the drugs more effective, but to make certain drugs less toxic as well, such as chemo drugs. So I think that's one of the main reasons they liked the grant.
Right. And Amy, were you involved in this application in any way, or have you sort of joined in since?
I actually sent my story to Breast Cancer Now for them to use on the website to help other young women like myself. And I was contacted to obviously take part in this as well.
Great. Very good. Okay, so there's kind of a few main groups of treatment strategies within mainstream medicine, surgery, radiotherapy, chemotherapy, immunotherapy, etc. And within each of those is a raft of different types of treatment. Is there a reason to believe that timing could affect the efficacy of any or all of these?
I think based on the scientific evidence so far, the time of day could make a difference to most of the things you mentioned, including radiotherapy, chemotherapy, and even surgery time for heart surgeries. So there was a report in Lancet 2 years ago where they showed that the time of day when you have your surgery could make a difference. Another one that is very relevant to what has been happening now is about the timing of vaccination. So there are quite a few groups who have been working on that to show the timing of vaccination make difference. Of course, anytime you get vaccinated, it helps you to protect from things like COVID. But there are certain times that may be slightly better depending on your body clock time, because you and me and Amy, we may have different body clock times,
right.
Morning locks, night house, etc.
Right. So in fact, if this stuff starts to take off, people are going to need an individual body clock profile in order to know what recommendations they
exactly
have. For...
Yeah, that's part of the personalized medicine idea. Where
right.
You know, you can quite easily find out your own body clock time. There are questionnaires available, which is
okay.
Munich Chronotype questionnaire, and you can do your test and you get your results very quickly through email. So you can find out within the human population where your body clock sits, whether you are the kind of normal in the bell shaped distribution, whether you are the very early type or the very late type.
Right. Okay. So it's not a big deal. Okay. Well, that's helpful.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Very good. So when you mentioned that it could be helpful with surgery, what strikes me is there's two aspects to that. Well, okay, if you're having cancer surgery, for example, that's what we're talking about here, there's the cancer itself that you're operating on, its particular clock, if you like, which might be different to yours. And then there's your own body clock, which could be involved in the healing mechanisms and all the rest of it. When's a good time? I mean, there's never a good time to start cutting bits of yourself out, but what's the best time to do it? You know, is there a good time from a point of view of how well you're going to recover from surgery? So could you speak a bit about those two aspects and how they might play into it?
That's also a very, very good point, because your normal cells and your tumor or disease cells, their clocks might be quite different already.
Mm.
I'm not sure about surgery, so whether surgery will affect the healing differently depending on the time of day, apart from that heart surgery report in Lancet. But what I am aware is that in chronotherapy, one of the ideas is to find the optimal window where your normal cells, their clocks are at a different time compared to your tumor cells. Therefore, if you give a chemo drug, hopefully only the tumor cells respond while the normal cells, they're in a different phase.
Right.
So that's part of the idea of reducing toxicity of these chemo drugs.
Mm, mm, right, I've got you. Okay, anyway, interesting. Plenty of unknowns, aren't there? We're going to need those computers to help us work this all out. I can see that because the number of variables it's quite large, yeah. Okay, so what about, you've already mentioned, yeah, breast cancer is not one thing. There's lots of different kinds of breast cancer. And there's lots of different kinds of cancer. So this is something that's going to apply much more to some than others, it seems, from what you're saying. You're actually talking about, you know, the clocks maybe not changing at all on one end of the scale to actually changing quite drastically at the other. It's a big variant like that, is it?
There is, yes, depending on the subtype. So there are tumor types where the clocks are almost normal.
Right.
And this is our starting point in this three-year grant. So in those tumor types that still have normal rhythms, we will culture the cells in the laboratory. We will also seed the cells into animal models, then test whether time of day makes a difference to this particular subtype, hormone positive cell type, cancer type. But in other tumors, which has lost rhythm completely, we're doing mechanistic studies to understand why those tumors have lost the rhythm, or whether by understanding why that's happening, whether we can manipulate the pathway to restore the rhythm.
Yeah.
Then make the cells more sensitive to whatever treatments that's being or has been established.
Mm.
Another point I want to make is for the arrhythmic tumors. We also think that the time of day could still help them because when you take a medication, when the drug is absorbed or metabolized in your body, that relies on other body organs, the liver, the blood, you know, the other tissues. So maybe the amount of drug that reach the breast tissue could still be time of day dependent. We don't know that yet. So what I'm trying to say is, even if a particular breast tumor type may not have rhythms anymore, it doesn't mean they may not benefit from chronotherapy.
I understand. So again, we're into this question of you're working with the body clock that you have anyway, and that's part of the treatment, of course. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
And therefore, absolutely, it really doesn't matter in a way whether the cancer has a clock or not. That you're still got a clock to work with. Okay, but there's actually seem to be three scenarios here. We've got one where you've got a cancer that stays in tune with your own body clock. Yeah. Then you have one where it goes out. Say, you know, it's like daytime is nighttime to that cancer. And then you have the one which is completely random and doesn't really have a rhythm at all. So am I right? There are like three distinct things, but it's probably a gradient. But anyway, there are three different scenarios.
Yes, broadly speaking, those three scenarios. But there are five different cancer subtypes. We haven't looked at all of them.
Okay.
The ones we looked at, there are certainly the rhythm changes are certainly subtype dependent.
Mm. Right. Very interesting. Okay, a lot to learn about here. So this question is maybe a bit of a no-brainer, but whereas you're doing this research with regards to breast cancer in particular, there's no reason to assume that the results of your research couldn't have application in other cancers, is there?
So we are collaborating with the Nightingale Breast Center in Manchester. So most of the breast tissues we collected are from there. And we take the tissues, we culture the cells in laboratory, or we sequence the tumor and normal tissues. So everything is done within the University of Manchester. For the machine learning approach, we are collaborating with experts in Philadelphia in the States, mm-hmm. who have generated those algorithms to predict circadian rhythms. So this is very breast cancer focused,
yes.
But there are people in other countries or regions where they are investigating body clocks and other tumor types. Colon cancer is one of the earliest that has been trialed for chronotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
This is by Professor Francis Levi. He is one of the pioneers of chronotherapy, and he is in Warwick. And he has been working on colon cancer and some other cancers about chronotherapy.
Mm. Okay. So obviously, there's information coming in from lots of different cancer types. The sum of this data that comes out could have quite an effect, couldn't it, on the attitude towards chronotherapy and how widely it starts to be embraced. Okay, so playing the devil's advocate again, I'm sure some people would say, okay, well, even if it does make a difference when you administer a treatment, it's not going to be that great, is it? Surely there's more important research to be investigating. Well, what are the indications for the amount of impact that careful scheduling could have on treatment outcomes?
So one of the best research areas so far is in colon cancer, as I mentioned. And when Francis Levi did those trials when he was in Paris, And he found the side effects in particular for certain chemo drugs, which is called 5-FU. And
right.
when he delivered 5-FU using a chrono approach, circadian approach, he named it a chrono 5-FU. And
okay.
There's a big difference in terms of the toxicity to patients. At certain time when it was delivered, the patients can tolerate that a lot better. So that's in cancer treatment.
That has to be good.
Yeah. So there are other examples, for example, in autoimmune diseases such as rheumatoid arthritis. When do you give anti-inflammatory drugs seem to make quite a big difference? Because many of those patients, their symptoms are the worst in the morning. These are the so-called morning stiffness in the joints.
Yes. Yes.
And in clinical trials, doctors have used a so-called slow release formula of the anti-inflammatory drug. So you take the medication in the evening before you go to bed, and
yeah.
the drug is slowly released throughout the night. At the early morning, about 5-6 o'clock, the drug concentration reaches the highest point. And that coincides with your inflammatory cytokine profile, which shows a daily rhythm. And that has shown significant benefit for patients.
Interesting. So that, again, could be relevant to people with cancer because there's quite a lot of joint pain associated with treatment, isn't there?
Yeah.
So, Amy, I'm just interested, obviously, you've got a personal interest in this because, as you said, you'd like to know with the treatment you're now on long term, how you could maximize the effect. That's kind of a theoretical interest at this point. Have you got any kind of practical experience which leads you to think this could be a good idea? Have you actually experienced anything to do with the timing of treatment?
Well, with tamoxifen, obviously I was on it 2 years before I've had a break.
Right.
I did have to alter the way I was taking it because if I was taking it on a night time, I felt like I was getting hot flushes for the night and night sweats. So I started taking it on the afternoon and I started getting joint pains on the night time.
Right.
And then when I started taking it on the morning, that's when I was that's when I found that I was getting less side effects. I was still getting like when I was taking it on the morning, I was getting like tiredness by the time the tea time came, but that was better than having nighttime sweats.
I imagine.
So I think it's basically trying to find the time of day to take the drug. See what side effects you're going to experience from it.
Yeah, very interesting. So you are on a trial and error method there,
so
which is good.
Yeah, so I think it's probably a good idea to try and find when you can take this drug to be more effective and try to limit the side effects.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who are taking tamoxifen and experiencing some of the side effects you just described who maybe have never thought of altering the time of day that they take them. So that's a very useful thing to know. So am I right in thinking that a doctor wouldn't be worried generally? They'd just be telling you to take so much per day, maybe with or without food, is the sort of thing you get told. They're not generally told when to take tamoxifen, are they?
No, you're just given the tablet and they just tell you to take it when it suits you.
Right.
They don't tell you to take it with or without food. It's just trial and error.
Right. Okay. So, well, it's good because you've got room to manoeuvre there. And you can try it out. And it obviously sounds like it's well worth trying it out. And, you know, you've already given some guidance as to what might be helpful. So that's really useful.
UK
Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer. part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay. I wonder now if we could come back onto looking at the biochemistry here, or I think this is called chronobiology, all right, this area, yeah, behind all this. Yeah. How much do we know about what's going on at a cellular level that could be creating the effects that we're seeing?
Okay, so the field of chronobiology, it started in the 1960s. That was the first time that we know human body have intrinsic clocks. And we knew it because in those days, experiments were done by taking human subjects into a completely temporally isolated environment, mm-hmm. in the dark, in a bunker, without any external time cues. And it was found out that human bodies still have the rhythm, even in those constant conditions. And starting in 1970s and 80s, clock genes have been cloned. And those led to the Nobel Prize in 2017. Right. And we now know almost every major clock gene, how they build a 24-hour clock system. And what we also know since then is that the clocks are in almost every cell of the body.
Wow.
And in each different cell type or organ, the clock functions are different. So you have the same clock in your eyes, in your knees, in your breast tissue, but the downstream targets controlled by these clocks are very different. So you have a different set of rhythmic genes in your breast tissue compared to your knee, for example. Mm. Other things we know are these rhythms dampen with age. So when we get older, the rhythms are not as precise as they are when we were young. So the other thing is these rhythms, they can be dysregulated not only during aging, but also in shift workers, or if you are traveling frequently, long-haul travel,
yeah.
you experience jet lag. So shift work, jet lag, and inactivity, they could all impact on your clocks. So there are many aspects of our lifestyle that could impact on our intrinsic body clocks.
Right. Yeah, that's an important point that's come out in some of the other interviews I've done, is how much you can affect the health of your systems in that way by actually supporting your body clock in the best ways you can through your lifestyle. Yeah, really important. So interesting, you're saying that these, like, we're full of clocks, basically. Is there kind of a master system that's joining them all together in some way? They're all independent. I mean, you know, what's going on?
Absolutely. There is a master clock in the brain. Mm-hmm. In the hypothalamus, this is called the SCN. And the master clock is unique in that within the human body clock system, that's the only place that receives light input. And as you know, evolutionarily, the clock evolved because we want to adapt to the external light-dark cycle so that our metabolism and physiology is in check with the environment. So that's why you need that central clock. But the central clock is not unique in generating rhythms. The clocks in your knees, in your skin, you know, all of them can have their own 24-hour rhythms. But what the central clock is... the important role of the central clock is it sends out rhythmic signals to entrain or to keep the other peripheral body clocks in synchrony
right.
with the environment
right.
because the other tissues, we don't see light.
Right, I understand. Yeah, clever. All right. So, you know, it's actually quite a long story, the story of chronobiology. As you said, it's longer than you might imagine. But I expect it was a really seriously minority interest back then. But how much attention is it being given now? Is it really something that is quite widely studied in mainstream research?
I would say over the last decade or so, there are certainly a lot more recognition. In a lot of universities, you will be able to find one or two clock research groups. Mm-hmm. And in Manchester, we are quite unique. We have a center, a whole center for biological timing, which has 25 research groups.
Amazing. Okay.
Yeah, so... as I said, in the world, there are a lot of researchers working on circadian clocks. So I think it's certainly gaining momentum and is making a much bigger impact to more clinically relevant questions.
Sounds like it. Amazing. So can you just tell me a bit about, okay, say we have a cancer, it's operating, it's got its own clock, or whether it be random or otherwise. If you're developing treatments or you're using treatments which are already developed and you want them to have the maximum impact, what are the kind of phases of the clock that you're interested in? What are the times when cancer cells are the most vulnerable to treatment?
So that's a very good question. That's what we are trying to address in this grant, because so far we mainly grow breast cancer cells in the laboratory. Then we have to synchronize the clocks in this culture condition. Then we treat at different times of the day. And that's showing us that it's certainly that the effect of the drug is time of day dependent. But this doesn't easily translate into the human tissue in vivo, because that time would be or could be very different from what is happening in the laboratory condition. That's why future clinical trials are really important, because we're going to do this in steps. We currently are doing it in cultured breast cancer cells. Then we do them in animal models, where we start to see which time, as you said, or which window the cells are more sensitive. Then eventually it will be the human clinical trial where we give the medication, as Amy said, at different time of the day, dividing them into groups, and to see longer term which ones have less toxicity or be more effective.
Mm-hmm. So again, lots of variability there, lots of things to tease out and to find out. But fascinating. Okay, so you've spoken a bit about the balance, if you like, between, every cancer treatment is helpful and harmful. And the balance between them is the thing that we're interested in. Are they, on the whole, more helpful than harmful? And that's what makes a good treatment, basically. And we've obviously got a whole raft of treatments already exist, but it seems to me quite a lot of what your work's involved in is seeing whether we can change that balance. We can make a treatment we already have less harmful and more helpful. Is that a fair description?
I would say. So basically, we want to know whether the timing can make a difference to the treatment response. This could be related to effectiveness. It could be related to toxicity. What I would say is, most medications, they would have some side effects. But what our experiment is trying to figure out is whether the time of day make a difference. That difference, how big that difference is, it depends on the particular disease type or the drug type. It could be a massive difference, or it could be not as dramatic, but that's what we will find out in the experiments. Hopefully it will make a difference to the people that are suffering and taking these medications.
Mm. But they're two completely different outcomes, if you like, both of which are of interest. I mean, if it makes the treatment more effective, well, that's got to be good. But also, if it makes the business of going through treatment less arduous and less damaging, that's also very significant, because, of course, that's one of the major downsides of cancer treatment.
Yeah.
So do you anticipate you're going to come up with good results in both those areas, or is it going to be different in every situation? Sometimes it'll be one, sometimes the other.
I think what we have in mind is certainly both aspects. For example, if a particular chemo drug has strong side effects in the liver, then the way when you time the treatment, that could make a difference because your liver clock and your breast clock could be quite different. So if you just change the timing, you could choose a better window where the liver is less sensitive, then you have less side effect in the liver, and the drug is still effective in the breast. So that's what we're hoping to achieve. So in the target tissue, we want it to be more effective, but in the side effects off target tissues, we want it to be less affected.
Mm, interesting. So that difference you described between breast tissue and liver tissue, that would be reasonably constant from between different patients, the difference, not necessarily what the timing was, but the fact that, say they were diametrically opposite, just for the sake of argument, I'm sure they're not, but they would tend to be diametrically opposite whoever you are treating. Would that be true?
And there is an interval. So in a healthy individual, there is an interval between the liver clock and the breast clock and the brain clock. Yeah. And that interval is really important. So the whole body, everywhere has a clock, but they're not doing like very synchronized oscillation.
Yeah. I understand. So that's very useful information, isn't it? It's to know in what ways they're distinct from each other, because there are your kind of treatment opportunities to get in there and do something which affects one and not so much the other.
Yeah.
Mm. This is the holy grail of cancer treatment, is finding ways of treating people that are more helpful and less harmful. And if you like, that's why we're continually looking for differences between cancer cells and other cells, is in order to find one of those opportunities of hitting the cancer cells but not all the healthy cells. Okay, so we've been talking about existing treatment strategies and the effect your work could have on the way that we approach things. How about completely new strategies? Is it likely to lead to completely new strategies, do you think?
I would say longer term, yes. So currently, we are mainly focusing on the established drugs to see whether time of day make a difference to them. But body clock research itself does have the potential to be developed into other new therapies. For example, there are small molecule compounds targeting body clocks themselves, clock genes, or rhythmic pathways controlled by the body clocks. So these have started being trialed or being experimented in different disease settings, such as obesity, diabetes, hypertension, etc. So there may be some small molecule compounds that could be used to treat cancer in a new way. But that's what this current research is about. We are really focusing on things like tamoxifen or other target drugs for breast cancer.
Right. So you say your research, while it could underpin future ideas about how a brand new treatment could evolve, is you're not actually thinking about that at the moment. You're thinking about finding out what's going on so that the existing drugs could be used in a better way.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Amy, I imagine you're quite excited about what Qingjun is doing here.
Yes.
Because of its potential for women. I mean, I guess you've met a lot of people who've been in your situation and you know what they've been up against. And of course, you've been up against it yourself. Anything that moves the needle in terms of more effective, less side effects is the way to go, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. I know it's going to be an absolute game changer for newly diagnosed men and women. And it's obviously going to be a game changer for myself as well, with us being on tamoxifen for the next 10 years.
Mm. Yeah, it's long-term stuff, isn't it? So, it's something you've got to live with. And every improvement you can make is an improvement to the whole of your life, basically. So it's major, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the future there. I'm just interested to have a little bit of speculation. This is something which is gathering momentum, clearly, as you were saying, Qingjun, but it's still, I'm sure, there are not so many clinicians on the wards thinking about this yet. Do you see this as something that has a future on the wards reasonably soon? And if so, how soon? And what do you think are the pathways to this happening? What needs to happen?
So I think you were right there. So it's certainly not widely applied yet in clinics, partly because the hospitals or the work schedules of hospitals are not built around the clock.
Right.
So doctors, they're not there 24/7. Medications currently are prescribed at certain, you know, in morning after the rounding of doctors, for example.
Yeah.
And also a lot more research is needed to convince the doctors and nurses that the timing is absolutely essential. Another point relevant to this is about clinical trials conducted by pharmaceutical industries.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about convincing them that it is important to consider the timing. I mean, this is extra work for them, right? If they had only two groups in the past, now they have to double it. They have to change a different time as well, adding a timing element. However, if this is properly designed and show some differences, time of day differences, maybe some failed trials, you know, we might be throwing them away, that actually if you change the time, the medication could work.
Yeah.
I think it will take a lot of advocation and, you know, education and further research, but we certainly see more and more of this. There are hospitals in America, so this is one of my collaborators. He has been promoting this idea. So in a children's hospital, he's involved in building the hospital so that it could take into the account of time of day, of meal time, the lighting in the walls, and also the medication schedule. You know, he's considering all of those in that new hospital. So hopefully there will be more and more hospitals like that.
Yeah, that's impressive. So interesting, because you can see pharmaceuticals, of course, are businesses. They're interested in creating things that work so that they can make some money out of them. So actually, this is an opportunity, as you say. They might get much better results if they actually do embrace this. So there is a motive for them to do it. So that could be helpful. The possibility of having drugs delivered, sort of computerized delivery, has now opened up possibilities for people having their drugs not at the same time when the ward round happens, but actually, you know, they're plugged into something that delivers that drug at a particular time. That is a new possibility for creating situations in which people get better treatment in that way. That's something I've heard of. Is that something you're involved with?
I'm not yet, but because I'm collaborating with an oncologist, and he works on breast cancer, and he's certainly interested in this idea of dividing the patients into groups and do the trial. So I think it's a matter of getting more and more clinicians like himself to take into account the time of day. And we don't just want some empirical studies. We want some real clinical trials where everything is properly controlled. Then we can draw safe conclusions that this drug is making a time of day is making a difference to this drug or not. Then I think there will be more and more doctors and nurses and patients being convinced that this is making a real difference.
And I'd like to throw into the mix here another element, which is more in Amy's department, which is that, of course, the more of the public who get to hear about this, the more pressure there will be to have some answers. Somebody like Amy, who's told to take this drug for 10 years, apart from trying to find out for herself, will also be asking their clinicians. People will be asking their clinicians these questions, and they'll think to themselves, well, actually, I don't know the answer. And so they might find out the answer. I just feel that, you know, one of the big obstacles always is moving forward the minds and hearts of the clinicians, who are slow to change, it seems to me. And there are attitudes of like, yeah, well, this is how we do it. Hence, more and more in cancer, I think one of the driving forces for change is the public. They actually really are in a position to benefit from improvements, and so there's a huge demand there. So there must be literally probably tens of thousands of women in this country who might benefit from having their tamoxifen at a better time of day. So that's a lot of demand. And I'm all for that personally. I let's get the public asking for this information therefore driving forward change faster than it might happen otherwise, if it's all down to building a great evidence base, you know, which can take years, can't it?
Yeah, that's true. We also working on the other side, which is educating the medics at the early stages of their career. Because, for example, in Manchester, we teach a body clock course.
Excellent.
Which has 18 lectures.
Right.
And within the course, there are medics, there are nurses, there are pharmacologists, as well as biologists listening to these lectures.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure in these generations of medics, you know, when they go into clinics, they have this body clock kind of mind sight already.
Awareness, yeah. Very good.
Timing.
Very good. All right. Well, look, we're out of time. Very interesting chat. Thank you very much, both of you, for coming on. Amy, are you going to be out there campaigning?
Yes, definitely.
Good. I mean, you know, I'm working on that side. Of course, I'm patient-facing with our organisation, so it's very much the way we look at things is, well, if we want change, let's shout about it. So look, really interesting talk and a great subject. And as you say, the potential for enormous help to people with a very small change is quite amazing, really. So it definitely is worth finding out about. So big thank you to both for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me too.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Research into circadian rhythms is opening a totally new window into controlling the efficacy and toxicity of treatments, and it's clearly an area in which patient involvement could push our knowledge forward faster. I hope you found that discussion interesting and possibly useful. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back again next week with another expert guest and another Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.